And of course, God's word is very, very powerful. I remember one time I was having a real difficult time. As many pastors will do this in their journey, they'll get maybe insecure or depressed or discouraged because you're not certain that you're seeing results. And I remember getting on my knees, and as I was asking God to help me in this time of my life, this is what he said to me. He says, "Greg, preach the word. The power of a message is not in a man, but it's in God's word." Amen to that? And so we're going to get into God's word as well. Let's look at some of these stories. But I've entitled this His story, because He has the story for every one of our lives. Is that not true? In Deuteronomy, and I'm in Deuteronomy right now, and I am fascinated with the book of Deuteronomy. As you go through it and you read it, and you every year you gain more and more stuff. And by the way, that is what's going to keep you excited about the ministry, is having a passion for God's word and continuing to grow your lives. Now here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, he says, and understanding Moses is now in the last year of his life, he says to the crowd there, he says, "Take heed to yourselves." And as I read Deuteronomy thou this year through, I'm discovering that Moses wants to make sure that Israel remembers who God is and what He has done. "Only take heed to yourselves, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things... Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to your children and to your grandchildren." And so the story that God has given to the Israelites, that God has given to each of our lives, it needs to be given out there, and we need to be proclaiming who our great God is. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the Bible says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." I got saved when I was 15 years of age, and at 16 years of age, I asked my pastor, "How do you know God wants you into the ministry?" And this is what my pastor said to me. He says, "Greg," he says, "the first thing is, are you willing?" And that day I said, "Lord, I am willing to do whatever you want me to do." That's a good decision to make. And I made that decision, and so the journey begins. Now, this goes back a little bit earlier than 16, but I just wanted to see how cute I used to be, all right? I just want you, well, hold it. This is going too fast. There, we can't miss my wife either, right? Boy, that's where she used to be. Does God have a plan for our children? Does God have a direction? Can God bring two people together and put them in His perfect harmony for their lives? I'm going to tell you guys, don't mess that up. Understand? Understand what I'm saying, guys? Don't mess it up. God has the perfect plan. We got married back in 1977. I graduated from Bob Jones. Boy, this thing wants to keep on running. Is that going to be a real problem for us here on this? I don't know what's doing it, but we'll look at it. There's my mom and my mom and dad used to be young at one time too. Look up there, and that's her parents. And we graduated from Bob Jones University, stayed there for another couple years to get our degrees, and then, as Dr. T has talked about, God wanted us to what you're saying is, let's get on with this program. Is that what it is? It must be it. We bought a school bus. I was telling Dr. T, we bought it for $1,000 and headed out to Oregon. It took us 8 days to get out there in that school bus. We took out all the things inside of that school bus and put our luggage in there. We ended up in Eugene. Boy, do I need to change something on this? Yeah. I don't know if you can control from back there either. Did I push something on this, or maybe that's it? There's a timer on it. Maybe that's it. Let's see. I'll push another button. That might be something I did. I'm sure it's not ever. The sound people never make a mistake. Is that correct? Anyways, we got out there, didn't know a soul, landed up on Echo Hollow. Maybe God doesn't want you to hear His story. Is that a possibility? Okay. Anyways, we ended up on Echo Hollow, and we rented this little duplex on the pictures there, and then we met in our garage, if you can imagine, for Wednesday night prayer meeting. And we'll see how much further they're going to be. I can go back and forth. You can always see these pictures twice, I guess. How we got it? You want to bring it back up? Okay. I got a thumb up and a finger up. Go this, we can be Pentecostal. Oh, God's good. God makes no mistakes either. God makes no mistakes, though you might think he does. There we go. We're there, and there we are, and I'm going to keep... There we are, back on Echo Hollow again. By the way, we were... Oops, there it goes again. Do you think... Let's see. Let's try that. Anyways, meeting in our garage there on Echo Hollow, and use that. Can you imagine using your garage for your church services? But that's what God allowed. And then we were able to rent the Willamette High School, which was right on Echo Hollow also. And we met inside there. We started door-to-door ministry, and we met in the choir room. Yeah, that's what. Maybe it's on my timer. That's probably what it is, I'm thinking. Anyways, we met in the choir room on Echo Hollow Road there in the high school. My wife has been a part of our music program. Then God allowed us to buy this building on Echo Hollow also. It's an old farmhouse and on a half acre of property. And we built our own pews inside. And this is kind of where we started our church after 2 years. And we had Vacation Bible School. And then we started to build the auditorium. And got it to be built. And let's see. I'm going to keep pressing buttons up here to see what happens on this thing. Aha. Maybe this will do it. Okay, and then we continued on Echo Hollow for this time, and God in 1997 allowed us to build our auditorium, and that is the presence of our building that we were there on Echo Hollow for 37 years, or inside of our auditorium, and to God be the glory. We thank him for it. Boy. Maybe. There we go. Let's see what this does. That doesn't do anything either. So anyways, as we are on Echo Hollow, I am going to be moving rather fast. God has a story. We are on Echo Hollow. We went to double services on Echo Hollow. You can imagine in a half-acre property and all. And for 10 years, we prayed that God would allow us to get property. At the end of those 10 years, I said, Lord, I am done looking for property. I am content to stay the rest of my life on Echo Hollow. That very week, God said, I'm glad you're done. Now I can do something. You know, sometimes God wants to bring us to the place of contentment in our lives to show his hands. And God always wants to receive the glory. He doesn't want it to be about us. It's about his story. So now we'll see if we can do anything. Here we go. Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget what God has done. This is actually going back to the start of everything. That's really... Have you guys ever had this problem before? Oh, good. You got to see it again. Boy, you're going to get his story three times today. Okay, there's the building project. For God be the glory. Isaiah 12:4-5. And in that day you shall say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the nations. God wants us to be praising Him. God wants us to be telling how wonderful He is. Amen to that? And that's what we need to be doing through this process. And oh, God, open up my heart to the power of praising Him and rejoicing in Him. Because I'm telling you what, when you go through a building project, and one that lasts 4 years, you can imagine how your soul can be traumatized and all the things that can go on. God opened up. The very day that I said I'm done, or the very week, a man came and says, we got a property we want you to look at. I says, I'm done. I don't want to go look at it. This property has 17 acres. Remember, what are we on? Half acre. An old farmhouse that was converted there. God opened up this property, 17 acres, in Old Eagles, one of the largest bars and dance floors in Oregon. And this is the property that He opened up. Parking spaces for 200 and a building that was quite dilapidated, but a beautiful golf course that we got to buy. And people said we could be a seeker-friendly church by offering golf for Sunday school. But they had a cafeteria inside, and as we looked at this building, we saw there was potential. You had to look beyond the bar. You had to look beyond the dilapidation of the building, the dry rot, and all these kinds of things. And we saw a place where God, if He was going to open up the doors or close the doors, we said, God, we'll do whatever You want. Give us green lights, red lights. You just help us to put our feet down where You want them to be. And so His story. As we made the deal to get into this property in October of 2012, we went to buy the property, if you can imagine, it was the end of the recession, for $825,000 for 17 acres, a 16,000 square foot building, 200 parking spots. So as we're going to get into it, the building was vandalized just before we got into it. It was vandalized at a tune of $200,000. It was still owned by the previous owners who didn't want us to be in there. They'd rather have another bar in there than a church. And they had fought us in trying to get into this. And they foolishly took the insurance off the property. And therefore, they had to reduce the property to $625,000. Praise God. That was not in my calculation. And by the way, they caught the girl that vandalized the building. She got saved in our county jail, and she has been corresponding. She's asked the church to forgive her, and she's tithing now to our church while she's spending 7 years in prison. But praise God for that. And we're getting to minister to her and all. So God has His story. We had our first meeting in there. Was a prayer meeting and asking God to kick the demons of alcohol and all those other things that was in that building. And so we started in. That's the bar on the that side over there. And that lady there used to be an alcoholic. She was a volunteer. She says, I can't wait to take out that bar. Praise the Lord for that. And the construction and the destruction, it took us over a year just to tear out the things in the building and tear out that dance floor. As you're paying for things, we actually recycled the dance floor and helped us to pay for our building. We got our volunteers up there, young and old, were a part of this project. An amazing project as people volunteered, getting taken care of all the dry rot and getting under. I think we spent about a year underneath the building as well as we are excited. We finally let my son out. That, by the way, is your, my son there. This is finally after a year. By the way, there's our three preachers there, and we believe that preachers ought to get their hands dirty as well. Amen. And we worked right alongside. We had a great time with it. This is the building that we envisioned as the architect drew it out, and the floor plan and everything, that auditorium, the seats over 400 and all. You can imagine His story. So as we make these plans and everything, God has a way of opening and closing doors, changing direction. We discovered that the building was in disrepair on about a third of it, and so we had to tear down a third of it, but that allowed us to put in a second story, which we needed more storage and more Sunday school space, so now our building is going up to 20,000 square feet building. And so that was a part of his plans, and so we tore it down and opened up that end and started building and replacing and everything. And, you know, when I look at this picture, a four-year building program, and no one of our church got hurt. Praise the Lord for that. You don't take those things for granted. We ask God for safety as we travel or for whatever. And all I told Dr. T is coming here today is that, man, here we're driving to the fifth largest city in America in rush hour traffic. And praise the Lord, you make it safe, and you thank the Lord for those things. And God did keep us safe and all the things, and God brought in volunteers. We had groups come in. This property has 15 RV sites on it. And we at one time had 22 RVs from people from Texas and all over America coming and helping us in our building project. And oh, what a blessing they were. And our ladies cooking one summer, they cooked over 2,000 plates to serve all the volunteers that we had in that summertime. Young and old, God brings them into our church and helps us. And as we take ownership of this, and it's so amazing to me to see what God has done in building this and getting her kids. Remember, you tell the story to your children and your grandchildren. Our kids got to see this. Our grandchildren got to see this as what God was doing. Of course, we had to mow 17 acres. It's a little bit different than a half acre. But that mower can mow at 10 miles an hour. And boy, I tell you what, we got the mowing teams and forward by faith. And this last year, we got to see the parking lot being established and getting in. And you can imagine going from 45 parking spaces to 200 parking spaces, how thrilled our church was. And so this is the last year, as you can see some of the development and the things. And hopefully you remember those first pictures that we showed you. Y'all remember that, what it looks like? That used to be that cafeteria. Now that's our fellowship hall that seats over 300 people at round tables. And then our platform, as it's getting developed and everything, that's the dance floor there. What God is doing. What God is doing, what God can do. And as you put in bathrooms for the ladies, boy, you got to put in a lot of them for the ladies. Isn't that true? And God, you know, when we think about those 4 years, we think about, you know, God helped us to make changes along the way. Sometimes we can become impatient. But God says, listen, you can make these changes. You've got some time. I'm going to help you with these things. And so instead of just fighting against God, to surrender to what God has. Oh, what God has done, and the people that He brought in to continue to work. And so we say goodbye to Echo Hollow after 37 years of being on Echo Hollow. This is our last service on Echo Hollow. We put it up there. Remind us, there was a lot of tears. A lot of tears. The last service, we had a communion service there. Our first service in our new building, we had a baptism service. And just so thrilling to see what God has done over the years. And our first service, when we got in there, the first thing we wanted to do is to dedicate the building. And so we had people get down and come and to get things set up for our first services. We asked God to bless. As you've heard before, as people will write on 2x4s, there's scriptures written on 2x4s, right where they're preaching or where they're praying. We wrote on there, preach the word, right where the pulpit is going to be. And then we invite our contractors. We wanted to be a blessing to them and have our meal. Isn't that something to have people there? Then that parking lot. Whoa. If you had 35 years of 45 spaces, you'd rejoice in a parking lot like that. We had our dedication service. Oh, Dr. T was there. Isn't that amazing? That's what God does. Apart from us, it's not about us, it's about Him. I was such a privilege to have Dr. T preach our very first dedication service of this building. Our themes, our core values is excellence in the Word. Excellence in the Word. And I appreciate Dr. T. He actually came back in 2012 and started us with our strategic planning and helping us to get better organized for this. And I really appreciate it. And then excellence in worship. Excellence in worship. By the way, that grand piano was donated to the church. We have no idea who donated it. But it was a part of history. And then our choir and our brass. Boy, there's a bald guy up there. There's a couple of bald fellas up there. Oh, it's a privilege to have excellence in worship. Excellence in worship. Excellence in our witness. So that's our core values. Excellence in His Word, His worship, and His witness. And that's why I want to tell this story. We have a God who does exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or even think. Can I have an amen to that?
Amen.
It was like God giving us a chapter out of His Bible. And that's our building today. Amen to that? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The cost of the project was $2.8 million. Now, if I knew that was going to be the cost, when we bought the building, we thought we were going to spend about $750,000. Oh, God can take our ignorance and our foolishness, and He can also keep back things that would discourage you from making your feet go forward. $2.8 million. But I want you to notice here, we sold off 9 acres. We kept 8 acres. We sold our Echo Hollow property. We got a grant from the Lasco Foundation, which contributes to helping churches, evangelical churches, build auditoriums. And our folks contributed that amount of money. And I want you just to notice the total contributions. We made $1,000 on the deal. Four years. Who could have ever dreamed? And it's not my faith. And it's not who I am. It's who He is. He can take you kicking and screaming to accomplish His will. And there were times that I was kicking and screaming, let me tell you. But let me just say this too. And this is a good principle for all of us to realize. You can't outgive God. The night that we took on the building project of October 2012, we took on 4 missionaries first. And in the process of time, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it, God allowed our mission program to take on 15 missionaries during this building project. We wanted to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen to that? And God has richly, richly blessed. And so I get the privilege of telling His story. What a great God we have. Now, let me just conclude as I got about 3 minutes. All right. Deuteronomy, turn there, chapter 8. Because here's something that's very, very important. There's several lessons that I hope that you got from here. But there's one that you need to keep in before you. We depend on God as we have those needs that come up. Is that not true? Can you come to a place that after you have seen God's amazing hands, come to the place that you leave God out? Notice what Moses, he's trying to get this message across to the Israelites. In verse 2, he says there, "And thou shalt remember." Boy, this is what's catching me about Deuteronomy. He's wanting them to remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep His commandments or not. Now go up to verse 11. He says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day." Verse 12, "Lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built godly or goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart, verse 14, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. I want to give all of you a caution. In your successes, in understanding who God is, don't ever believe it depended on you. It's His story. It's His grace. It's His mercy. Go down to verse 17. And he says in verse 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and my might and my hands hath gotten us this wealth. Don't ever say that. Give Him the glory. Proclaim Him throughout the world. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that hath given thee power to get wealth, that He may establish thy covenant. Amen? Amen and amen. Oh, we have a great God. I like just going on to verse 9. He says, understand, chapter 9, verse 6. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for who you are. Because he says, you guys are a bunch of stiff-necked people. You ever read the first four or the chapters of Numbers and those things in Exodus of how Israel responded? They're called children for a reason. We're that way. But we have a God who will bless and encourage. Well, I think I just finished right on time. That's pretty good. How about if we can sing a song? Would that be all right through it all? And I think it can play on there, the song. We even might have it music if it can come through there. Maybe not. Let's see if it does. Let's sing it together. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Well, that was all right, amen? It's okay to end up in a note like that because that will keep us humble, amen? You just remember that. Father, thank You.